Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. I hope this conversation will serve you on your own path of living life fully and courageously. The inner game is our relationship to our purpose, to the contribution we want to be in bringing forth a more beautiful world. These are conversations with people who are up to something evolutionary in their lives, and an opportunity to hear about how these people grow personally, and how that strengthens their organizations and businesses to make a bigger difference. Our guest today, again, is Marshall Saunders, founder of the Citizens Climate Lobby. We just couldn't get enough in last time, so we had to do a part two. So hopefully you've listened to our first conversation, and this is that part two. Welcome again, Marshall. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, well, it's a delight, Gwen. I'm really pleased to be here and talk with you.
You were just beginning to kind of tell the story of how Citizens Climate Lobby got started, which, you know, was really out of your commitment to knowing you had to do something about climate change. And so you began doing Al Gore's slideshows, and that became clear that that was not the answer. It was just sort of scaring people and not allowing them in order of any real way to engage. So you started a group based on the model of results. And maybe we should start there with the structure of the results organization and how that can allow everyday people in all kinds of different walks of life to really engage on an issue and make a big difference in changing policy around it.
Well, thank you. First of all, I realized somewhere along the line that the Lone Ranger, me, can't get much done. I need people to work with. I think we all do. Golly, results is organized in such a way as the small groups of people, 5, 10, 15 people per congressional district, meet together. And once a month, there is a national conference call in which we are all educated on the same thing. And then we practice a laser talk. Everybody around the country, it'll be several hundred of us, maybe 300 of us. And we practice this laser talk that we want to give to our member of Congress and that we want to get in the newspaper using the same information. So that when you have 200-300 people scattered all over the country doing the same thing on a very specific issue, like funding for tuberculosis or more government, I'm talking about global funding, or a bill that may be in Congress or about to be introduced into Congress, it's a very powerful way to get legislation, and results prove that. I don't remember any of the specific numbers, but back in 1987, it was before my time at Results, they lobbied for funding for microcredit, the tiny self-employment business loans of very poor women in very poor countries. And we lost, the results lost, and then the next year they proposed the same bill again and lost. And then the next year, next congressional year, that group of people, 300 of them, say, put over 100 editorials in papers across the country and lobbied their members of Congress consistently. And somebody from the Reagan administration back then called Sam and said, call off your dogs, we'll fund the microcredit bill, which they did. As I recall, that was $50 million. And it was for El Salvador.
That was a real lesson in the perseverance that it takes to do social change work. You've got to be in it for the long haul. And you're also speaking to that piece of it that's about people changing on the inside, the citizens as well as the elected officials, seeing something new in themselves and seeing a new possibility for the world.
Well, Gwen, I would not have been to that original results conference that I went to without the personal transformation work that I had been doing. And that was, again, which we spoke about last time, was telling myself the truth about reality and just staying on a pathway for my own transformation. So that made it all possible.
What do you think that it is about personal growth work, about spiritual development, that always seems to lead towards service? I mean, whoever it is, Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King, as they become sort of clearer expressions of love, all there is to do, it seems, is serve others, is to help in some way.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. When I got down the road on my own spiritual growth, I became a citizen of the world, and I loved everybody. I wanted the best for everybody, not just people, all the little creatures and the big creatures and all of life. So it followed like day follows night. That when I did the spiritual growth work that I did, which goes on today, I want to be more and more of service to the world. And I'm looking for things and finding places where I can make the biggest contribution that I can make. And one of them is this Citizens Climate Lobby, which was started back in October of 2007.
With Citizens Climate Lobby, you started to tell us the story of how that got started, and how it wasn't didn't bang right out of the gates. Tell us a little bit about what that development of the organization looked like, so people can understand.
Okay, you mean how we got started?
Yes, after that initial meeting with Mrs. Siegel.
Okay, well, Mrs. Siegel was a very critical player.
She was.
When she said, "Why don't you do that?" And then when I told her nobody would come to a meeting like that to organize for a group like that, she said, "I'll help you." And there I was, trapped in front of these 10 or 12 elderly people in the rest home. And as a consequence of my faith in her, and, you know, I didn't know her, I just met her that day, I hired the Rancho Bernardo Library, a room right near the rest home, so she and her friends could get there easily. And then I went home and began, you know, we live about 35 or 40 miles south of Rancho Bernardo, so it's not our neighborhood. So when I got home, I began to invite people, you know, make a flyer up, and there's going to be this meeting, and call all my friends. And what I'm hearing from my friends is, well, I don't know, on a Saturday morning for a three-hour meeting in Rancho Bernardo, maybe we won't go.
Right.
So I called Lee, you know, my new friend, Mrs. Siegel. And she didn't answer the phone. And, a few days later, I call her back. She didn't answer the phone. And, you know, maybe the third or fourth call, her husband answered the phone. And he said, well, her arthritis is kicked up and she's not going to help you. So, you know, there I was. What am I going to do? I'm going to call the thing off. I don't know who's coming and or not coming. And I thought, you know, probably now I'm going to end up in this library room with two people who've driven all the way from Coronado, and I'm going to be embarrassed and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what do you do in a circumstance like that? You just keep on going.
Right.
So that's what I did. And, but, you know, so much of the transformation of the work is a consequence of my personal transformation, I'm bragging a little bit, comes from getting on the telephone and inviting people. And I don't mean email. I've come to believe that and be certain about that when it comes to an invitation, trying to persuade somebody about something, emails don't count. Mm-hmm. I've got to get them on the telephone, or I've got to meet with them in person. But anyway, what happened was that word got around, and there was a general interest among some people for what I was attempting to do, and there were 29 people who showed up in that Rancho Bernardo library room on October the 6th, 2007. And when I explained it all, that essentially what we wanted to do was to teach people to lobby their members of Congress and lobby the media. But not only that, we wanted to provide them with a group so that they weren't acting alone, both a national group and with a group in their neighborhood, that they could work together with other people on this issue of climate change. And you know, and as it turned out, you know, nobody knew, and I certainly didn't know going into this thing, that there was going to be so much interest in it, and there has been. We are up to something like 55,000 members, I guess you could say, and we have a few thousand people on our national conference call every month.
And you were also telling me that interest has gone up quite a bit, sort of substantially, since this latest election.
Yeah, since the latest election, yes, with the election of Mr. Trump and what he seems to be intent upon, people have come out of the woodwork, and we are growing now 2.5 times as fast as we were prior to the election. And you know that I gave you that quote from James P. Grant on our previous call,
right,
in which he said that social achievements are not accomplished by government proclamations. And I could have added by executive order.
Right.
That's not the way things fundamentally get changed. They get changed because people organize and, as Grant said, make demands and make it good politics to respond. So that's what's happening in the country right now.
Right.
That people are organizing and making demands and making it good politics for government, in particular their members of Congress, to respond. That's happening now, and I think that's gonna grow, and that we will. Well, who knows what's gonna happen? Nobody knows.
Well, on that note, I want to get into the nitty-gritty of what you're doing with Citizens Climate Lobby and the principles upon which it operates. And I just want to let our listeners know that this is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. My guest today is Marshall Saunders, and we're talking about how change happens in our own hearts, and how that changes the greater political landscape and every other landscape out there. So, Marshall, we've talked a lot about what's so special about Citizens Climate Lobby, and the way that it operates. Your as an extension of your commitments and how you operate in the world now, or at least how you're committed to operating. We all realize that we're not perfect, and that's actually a sort of a lovely thing that is stated within Citizens Climate Lobby, is that you don't expect perfection from people, but you are a stand for their greatness. Talk a little bit about how, you know, how that feels and what that looks like in Citizens Climate Lobby when someone gets involved.
Well, Gwen, yeah, thank you very much. You know, they say a fish rots from the head. And I think that the converse of that might be true also. So here I am trying to be the best human being I can be, spending time growing my spirit every morning for an hour about, and that's spiritual reading and prayer time. It's really, in my case, it's really, I think meditation is a better word for it. And I think that, I believe that intention to be spiritual, to that intention to continue to grow spiritually, is reflected in the organization. So part of the values that I intended to impart to the organization are integrity, which we talked about last time, keeping our word, showing up on time, being prepared, doing our research, and our approach being thoughtful and thorough.
You also talked about optimism, and I think that's such a lovely one because it plays out not only in your hopes and dreams for the world, but in how you treat others with a certain amount of optimism and generosity you mentioned.
Well, we believe that people are good. And we believe that democracy works. And we're confident that our approach will work. And we are for something rather than against something. And one of my early readings in Gandhi, there was something I remember so well, I think, that he was doing good without doing harm. And I thought, what? Doing good without doing harm. It seems to me that so much good that people do or try to do, they are defeating something else. And
right.
So we didn't want to do that. I didn't want to cause any harm, like do no harm. And so it was based on that.
Tell the story of Ashley in New York. That's a beautiful example of what this looks like in action.
Ashley, who's in New York City, and her group were meeting with their member of the House of Representatives. He's Republican, and was really opposed to talking about climate change. So we are taught, and we teach each other to, first of all, be respectful and be, how can I say, generous and appreciative of the people that we meet with, everybody. And so they, the group up there in New York, they dug into the internet to find out something about him to appreciate this member of Congress. And they find out in the New York State Legislature that he had he had done something that they really liked. And so when they sat down with him, they said they began to talk about that. And they're going along, and he says, "Hold it, stop, stop. I'm afraid that you people are going to come in here and yell at me and scream at me about my stand on climate change or lack of one. And here you are appreciating me and praising me for my work in the state legislature." He said, "I'm just astonished." And then he said, "I don't know who's teaching you, but tell them that they're doing a good job." Well, that felt real good down here in San Diego, I'll tell you.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. You know, and I've seen you do that so often, as you know, and I know that that's, you know, that's something that is consistent throughout the Results organization, and now I know through the Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a way of being with people that disarms them, and not with, you know, any sort of manipulative intent, just with the intent that love is a better way.
Well, yes, the old thing of defeating somebody or defeating something or somebody to do good, it's just more of the same old stuff.
Right.
And so sooner or later, you're going to get pushed back and lose, and it goes back and forth. And that's the way we've been, the human beings have been living our lives generation after generation. So now we have this new, it's not new. There's nothing that is as old as the hills. Well, you know, when you go back a couple of thousand years, and Jesus said, "Love your enemies," and then you see Gandhi and that little story that I told you last time when he met with General Smuts and said, "You know, we're gonna count on you to help us," and so that's. It's a new way, but it's also as old as the hills.
Right. Yeah, it feels like taking a stand for the most loving, the most inclusive, the most just, the most fair, kind, all those ways that we would want to be treated ourselves. And
yeah,
making sure we are absolutely treating others that way, no matter who they are.
Yeah, right. No matter who they are, no matter what kind of clothes they wear or who they voted for, we want to be as good human beings as we can be.
I'd love to hear about what this experience is like for you now, having been you know, both working on your inner game and your outer game for many years now. What is it that keeps you in the game?
Well, I just love it. And I love the people that come along and the people that I find. I love to know that there's not some mold that I was born into that restricts my growth. I love to know that when I'm when things are difficult for me, that swimming upstream against the current, the way the world is for me is though it's work, it results in joy and a feeling of achievement. You know, for me now, I'm 78, and it's kind of it's kind of tempted to say that I don't have to do anything more. I can kind of let things slide and just enjoy life, but I don't think there's a joy and happiness and relaxation for me in that. Seems to me I've been awakened and I've got to find a way and a new way and a new way and a new way to keep growing.
Yeah, as long as you have something to give, there's a joy in giving it.
Yeah. There's something in the Hindu religion that when every man and woman was born through Krishna just before we were sent to Earth, we were told just one word of advice, which it was, give.
That's a beautiful place to end. But I want you to tell people how to get involved in Citizens Climate Lobby, wherever they might be.
Every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, we have an introductory call. You can register right on the website, citizensclimatelobby.org.
Great. So much gratitude for you, Marshall, and thank you for continuing to give of yourself because you
okay, thank you,
do
Gwen.
Have so
I
much to give.
I enjoyed the conversation very, very much, and you inspire me, and I'm going to up the ante.
Can't wait to see what that looks like. Thank you to our listeners for listening today. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, you can join the Facebook page at The Inner Game. So until next time, thank you so much. Go out there and be active and express your love and truth in the world.